Welcome to our deep dive, and today we're tackling a really intriguing idea, an open access market for global communications.
Yeah.
It's the brainchild of Peter Crampton, and we've got his presentation right here laying out the whole thing. It's, it's pretty mind-blowing, to be honest. We're going to unpack why we even need a system like this, how this market's supposed to function, and even delve into some of the tech that could make it all happen. You ready to get started?
Absolutely. Let's dive in. Crampton really hits on something we often take for granted, reliable communication infrastructure.
Yeah.
And he's not just talking about, you know, having a good internet connection at home. He's talking about the systems that underpin global finance, disaster response, the whole shebang.
Right.
As we move toward net zero emissions in a world that's ever more interconnected, the stakes just get higher and higher.
Absolutely. And he makes a really strong case that sticking with the current system might actually hold us back. Crampton points out all these potential market failures that could really trip us up.
He does. He gets into the nitty-gritty, talking about things like the prisoner's dilemma, incomplete markets, even the possibility of market manipulation. These aren't just hypothetical issues. They're real roadblocks that could keep us from building the kind of robust and resilient infrastructure we need.
So is Crampton just like pointing out all the problems? Or does he actually offer some solutions?
Oh, he definitely offers solutions.
Yeah.
His proposal: an open access market for global communications, designed from the ground up to tackle those market failures head on. It's all about maximizing social welfare, considering the limits of the network, but also fostering a system that encourages innovation and really drives efficiency.
Okay, that sounds fantastic in theory, but how do you actually design a market that can achieve all that?
Okay.
What are the key things we need to understand?
Crampton breaks it down into a few core principles. First, complete markets. Everyone has access to the information they need to make smart decisions. Picture a system with transparent pricing, updated every hour, giving a crystal clear view of future trends. That level of transparency would be a huge incentive for investment and innovation.
That makes sense, but wouldn't constant price updates lead to a ton of volatility, especially for businesses that need to plan for the long haul?
That's where the second key feature comes, an ample liquidity in the market.
Okay.
So enough buyers and sellers to keep those prices stable and make sure they reflect the real value of communication resources. Crampton argues that this combo would actually reduce uncertainty, encouraging smarter investment decisions.
So if companies have a clearer picture of the future, they're more likely to take risks and develop the next generation of communication tech.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this market isn't just about finding a new internet provider. It's way bigger than that.
Right.
Crampton suggests it could be a platform for trading all sorts of things, from mobile spectrum and satellite capacity to even fiber optic cable access.
So we're talking about like building a whole new infrastructure for global communication.
We are.
What I find really interesting is how this could impact the digital divide.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
Right now, access to reliable, affordable communication depends heavily on where you live and what infrastructure is already in place. Crampton argues that an open access market could change all that.
So it could level the playing field, letting underserved communities access the same communication resources as, say, Wall Street.
That's the idea. By creating a more competitive and dynamic market, Crampton believes we can make high-speed, reliable communication a reality for everyone, no matter where they are. But to get there, we need to talk about the tech that makes it all possible.
Okay, you've got me hooked. What kind of tech are we talking about here?
Buckle up, because Crampton introduces us to low Earth orbit optical mesh networks.
Wow.
It's like a constellation of satellites closer to Earth than traditional ones, forming this interconnected web capable of transmitting data at crazy speeds.
So faster than what we have now with fiber optic cables.
Potentially, yeah, and with much broader reach. He compares a proposed Rivada satellite project using this tech to both Starlink and terrestrial fiber. The Rivada network, orbiting at a higher altitude, could offer wider coverage while matching or even exceeding the speed of fiber.
But isn't satellite communication usually limited by uplink and downlink speeds from ground stations?
That's true for traditional satellites.
Right.
The beauty of an optical mesh network is the satellites connect directly to each other, bypassing the need for constant uplinks and downlinks. It's like creating a dedicated data superhighway in space.
This sounds almost too good to be true. What kind of real-world impact are we talking about? Give me a concrete example.
Crampton shares some fascinating data on the impact this could have on global finance. Imagine shaving milliseconds off communication times between major financial centers.
Okay.
He even quotes someone saying, One millisecond is an eternity for a high-frequency trader.
Wow, so we're not just talking about faster downloads. We're talking about revolutionizing entire industries that rely on split-second decisions.
Exactly. And that brings us to the challenge of managing a network this complex. How do you make sure it runs smoothly and efficiently, especially when demand is always fluctuating? That's where Crampton's idea of a real-time market comes in.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me how this real-time market would work.
Think of it like a stock market, but for bandwidth.
Okay.
Crampton proposes a system with different product types, like, you know, fast, premium, and regular.
Mm-hmm.
Fast prioritizes speed, obviously, premium guarantees reliability, and regular kind of offers a balance between the two. Prices go up and down based on real-time supply and demand.
So if everyone in a certain area suddenly starts streaming, say, the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
the price of fast bandwidth in that region would spike.
Yeah, exactly. And that price signal would, you know, encourage users to either switch to a lower priority service, wait till things calm down a bit, or if they absolutely need that speed, pay a premium. It's all about making sure the resources go where they're needed most dynamically.
I can see how that optimizes network efficiency. But wouldn't this real-time pricing create uncertainty for businesses that rely on predictable communication costs?
That's a valid point. Crampton addresses that by including a forward market in his design.
Hmm.
Imagine being able to lock in a price for bandwidth months, even years in advance.
Wow.
Just like you can with, like, commodities or currency exchange rates.
So even in a dynamic real-time market, there's a way to hedge against volatility and, you know, keep those budgets stable.
Exactly. And he doesn't stop there. Crampton introduces another really interesting concept, flow trading.
Okay.
So instead of constantly placing individual buy and sell orders as prices change, participants can set up flow trades.
Right.
Essentially a series of automated transactions triggered by certain price points.
So a company with, you know, bandwidth needs that fluctuate throughout the week could set up a flow trade to automatically buy more bandwidth during peak hours and then sell off excess bandwidth when demand drops.
Yeah, that's the idea. It gives them much finer control and reduces their risk exposure compared to, you know, constantly watching the market and placing individual orders.
Yeah.
But this real-time market and flow trading, they address more than just efficiency. They also tie back into those market failures Crampton talked about earlier.
You're right. We haven't forgotten about those. Remind me how these mechanisms would deal with things like, you know, the prisoner's dilemma and market power.
Right. So remember, the prisoner's dilemma highlights the temptation for individuals to act selfishly, even if it leads to a worse outcome for everyone. In a traditional communication setup, this could look like companies hoarding bandwidth or refusing to cooperate on network upgrades.
Right. Because in a closed system, it might seem like the best strategy is to grab as much as you can, even if it weakens the whole system in the end.
Exactly. But in Crampton's open access market, the incentives change. With complete transparency in the market, participants can see the bigger picture. They understand that cooperation and efficient resource allocation actually benefit everyone in the long run.
So it's like moving from a zero-sum game to a collaborative effort to make the system stronger and more resilient. What about the potential for market manipulation? How would this system prevent, say, one big player from cornering the market and controlling prices?
The combination of transparent pricing and ample liquidity acts as a kind of natural deterrent to manipulation. In a system where everyone has access to the same information and there are enough players to counterbalance any one entity's actions, it becomes incredibly difficult to artificially influence prices.
So it's kind of a self-regulating system where transparency and competition work as safeguards against unfair practices.
That's the underlying principle. And this focus on a level playing field connects to the broader societal implications of Crampton's proposal, especially when we talk about bridging the digital divide.
Yeah, we were just talking about that earlier. How would a market-based approach address the inequalities in access to communication resources?
Well, think about it this way. In many parts of the world, access to high-speed internet is limited by a lack of investment in infrastructure. A company might not see the financial incentive to, you know, lay fiber optic cables in a remote area with a small population.
Right. The potential return on investment might not justify the upfront costs.
Exactly. But in an open access market, the equation changes. If there's demand for bandwidth in that remote area, even from a small number of users, the market will respond.
So it creates a system where demand drives investment, making sure even underserved communities can get the communication resources they need.
That's the goal. Of course, this leads to another question. How do we ensure equitable access in a market where prices are set by supply and demand? What's to stop providers from charging outrageous fees in areas with limited competition?
That's a really important point. It seems like we're moving into the realm of regulation and ethical considerations here. How does Crampton address those concerns?
He acknowledges that switching to a market-based system would require careful thought about regulatory frameworks. He suggests things like price caps, subsidies for low-income users, or even the creation of community-owned and operated networks to ensure affordability and access aren't compromised.
So it's not just about designing the market. It's about building a whole ecosystem that makes sure everyone benefits. But even with those safeguards in place, this kind of change doesn't happen overnight. How does Crampton see this transition playing out?
He emphasizes a phased implementation, you know, starting with pilot programs and simulations to test the market's functionality in real-world scenarios. Remember those simulations we mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
That's a crucial part of his approach.
Okay, let's talk about those simulations.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about how they were conducted and what they revealed?
Well, they didn't just, you know, theorize about this open access market. They actually built a virtual model and really put it through its paces. They simulated those real-time demand fluctuations, programmed different trading strategies for different types of participants. They even factored in potential risks and disruptions.
It's one thing to say, hey, this will work, but it's another thing to actually prove it through, you know, rigorous simulation. What were some of the key findings from those simulations? Did the market behave the way they expected?
The results were really encouraging, actually. The simulations showed that the market could adapt to those rapid changes in demand, efficiently allocating bandwidth to where it was needed most. Prices responded in a predictable way, you know, encouraging users to switch to different service tiers or adjust their usage patterns based on what was happening in real time.
That's a good sign. Did the simulations reveal any like unexpected challenges or potential pitfalls that need to be addressed before this could actually be implemented?
Of course, any complex system like this is going to have its quirks.
Right.
The simulations highlighted the importance of, you know, fine-tuning certain parameters, like how quickly prices adjust to avoid too much volatility. They also showed the need for sophisticated risk management tools to help participants navigate that dynamic environment.
So it's about finding that balance between responsiveness and stability. We don't want a market that's so sensitive it creates chaos, but we also don't want one that's too slow to react to, you know, real-time needs.
Exactly. And that's why these simulations were so important.
Yeah.
They let Crampton and his team really identify those potential pressure points and then refine the market design.
Earlier, we talked about how flow trading could help businesses with like fluctuating bandwidth needs. Did the simulations offer any insights into how effective that approach would be?
They did. The simulations showed that flow trading strategies could really reduce risk for participants while making sure they hit their bandwidth targets. It really confirmed that flow trading could simplify market interactions and help businesses manage their communication needs better.
Okay, I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together. You've got the underlying tech with the potential to, you know, massively increase bandwidth capacity. You've got the market designed to make sure that capacity is allocated efficiently and fairly. And then you've got these sophisticated tools, like flow trading, to manage risk and complexity.
It's a pretty comprehensive vision.
Yeah.
And it's backed up by data and some serious analysis.
What I find especially compelling is the focus on creating a more equitable system.
Yeah.
Throughout this deep dive, we've talked about how this open access market could help bridge the digital divide, making sure that everyone has access to the communication resources they need to thrive in this day and age.
That's maybe the most important implication of Crampton's proposal. It challenges us to think differently about communication infrastructure, not as something only a few privileged people get to enjoy, but as a fundamental right, essential for everyone to participate in the modern world.
And that shift in thinking could be truly transformative. It's not just about having faster internet. It's about empowering individuals, communities, even entire economies to reach their full potential.
It's a bold vision, for sure. And as with anything this ambitious, there are going to be challenges.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who are skeptical. Implementing something like this on a global scale would take an unprecedented level of cooperation between governments, international organizations, and private companies.
You're absolutely right. And like we've discussed, making sure there's equitable access and preventing potential abuses will be key. But I think what Crampton has done is start a really important conversation.
He's given us a framework, a place to start imagining a different future for global communication. A future where technology is used to empower, not divide, where innovation can flourish and everyone has the opportunity to connect and communicate freely and affordably.
It's a future worth fighting for. And while there's still a lot of work to do, I think exploring ideas like this is vital if we want to make that future a reality.
Well said. This has been a truly fascinating deep dive. We've gone from the nitty-gritty of market design to the big-picture societal impact of a more equitable communication infrastructure. It's clear that the future of global communication is full of possibilities, and it's up to all of us to shape that future.
Absolutely. It's time to stop just accepting the status quo and start imagining a world where communication really does empower us all.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We encourage you to keep exploring these ideas and share your thoughts with the world. After all, the future of communication is a conversation we all need to be a part of.